Well, good morning. It's good to see you all again. Another Sunday just moving by. It seems like it comes up faster and faster for me. It's a beautiful sunny day. Hallelujah to that. I got my, I think it was Joe over there that mentioned that my shirt is Arizona. You know, I used to live in Tucson, Arizona. Did you know that? So if you like heat, go to Tucson, Arizona. If you like heat and humidity, you go to Thailand. Or Vietnam, where it was like 15 degrees Fahrenheit, and I think the humidity level was probably close to 100 degrees, so or 100%, it wouldn't be degrees, 100%, so you sweat a lot, you know, but you just drink a lot of water and just keep going. So praise the Lord. Yeah, it's a wonderful day. Actually, I was going, well, what do you do on Mother's Day? Do I do a message on mothers, stuff like that? But then as I was going through this one, it kind of hits on the family as well. So we'll be looking at that there in chapter 2 of Hebrews. And we'll just trust the Lord for His Spirit to move and teach us and guide us through this. I don't know about you, but there's times in life I felt like I have drifted. I don't know if you've ever seen, you've gone to a river or you've been out to a lake or even the ocean, and you'll see this driftwood just kind of floating around aimlessly. There's really no goal, no purpose really. It's just out there, you know, and I felt like that in my life at times, just drifting. Oops, do we have this, Nolan? We can't seem to get that up there. We're having issues with that. I was wondering why you're looking at me so weird. I'm still the same guy, I think. I know you like my shirt. Yeah, these are Roadrunners. Beep, beep. So I just wanted to let you know that. Yeah, Roadrunners and cactus and little iguanas and things like that. So I think those guys bite you. All right, so beware the drift. So going off, so I don't know, have you ever been in the ocean and you get out there in the water and you go out there, the waves are just crashing, you know, just having a great time and stuff like that. You get further out, you know, just having all the fun you can have, you know, just looking around, beautiful area, you know, all way out, looking way out there, boats out there, birds flying all over the place, looking for shark fins and things like that. Especially if you go out to the Pacific Ocean or if you go down North Carolina, I guess that's about true too. But then you turn around and you look back at shore where you began, and you find out that you just drifted way down several hundred feet away from your area. You're kind of going, whoa, why did Joy pick up this stuff and move over there? Why did she do that? That's my lunch. But no, it wasn't her. It was me. And then you start going, oh, well, I got to kind of mosey on over, you know, swim on over, whatever, to get back to that side so I'm not too far away. I've had some friends that they got caught up in what's called riptides. And, you know, you don't really know about them, but all you know is that you just kind of keep going further and further out. No matter how hard you swim, you can't get back to shore. So you have to ride the riptide. You know, these guys were strong swimmers, so they were able to break through the riptide and get back, but they said that they barely made it back. So those are, you know, warning signs of drifting is when you ever go to a beach and you'll see these signs up in some areas. You know, beware the riptides. And riptides in our lives are, you know, many different things that can happen to us that get us moving so far away that it gets dangerous. And, you know, I was looking back in Colossians, and I always seem to be going back to Colossians, but it's such a wonderful book, and it speaks the truth in so many ways. And 2:8 says this, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." That's called riptide. Okay, that's not just drifting. You're getting caught up in a riptide of deception. People are trying to cause you to become captive to their philosophies of what they've learned, either in school or in life. I think I'm getting an echo here, Nolan. Maybe you need to turn something down. I'm not sure what. Probably Maybe this mic up here or the mic here. But so that's one thing we have to be careful of. It surrounds us without us even knowing. It's in our education system. It's in our workplaces. It's in our books that we read, the movies we watch, the shows that we watch. You know, there's these philosophies, these things that we think, oh, yeah, everybody does this, so I can do it too. Rather than on Christ. So you start to drift, and you get caught up into a riptide, and it takes you far away from Christ, where you do not want to be. Further on in Colossians there says this, in 16 it says, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person always goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up by the idle notions of their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Have you met those type of people? Maybe you used to be one of those people. Maybe you still are. Those type of people, just kind of, you listen to them, and for some reason, you start to follow what they are saying. And that's called that drifting that can end up into a riptide that can take us away from the Lord. And then it says this, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Because now you're of Christ. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Raise your hand if you know all that. All right? And it says this, these rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Oh, how we think we're so great. Did you hear this guy speak? Did you hear him teach? Oh, his words are so wonderful. I'm going to follow those. They're so great. You know, the philosophers around the world, all these guys, one name after another, number. You know, you got people like Aristotle, and then you got all those coming up from there. Lifting themselves above Christ. Human commands and teachings, such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. That's why we get caught up into that drift and that riptide before we even know it. It looks like wisdom. It looks good. It sounds good. It works in my life at times. With their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So all that is to try to make us good, to make us good enough to get into what we call heaven. We can't even stop our sensual indulgence, let alone our angry thoughts, let alone our bitterness and not to forgive others, let alone not to love our enemies. That's our world. And that's the world that this was written in. It's not much different, is it? The media is different, but people aren't. And so that drift, we start drifting, and we catch up in this riptide, and that's why so many people get carried away. Some people don't even really get back, if they even knew Christ, truthfully. They might have started off with a raised hand, yeah, hallelujah, Jesus, but then their lives really, because they had no sincere, true relationship to Christ or no sincerity in their repentance, they drift and get caught up in a riptide of life, and that's it. But we are not that way, right? I mean, we might drift, but we're going to have to be watchful of the riptides. We might drift, but we can trust Christ to reach out and touch us and help us as we flutter around like that. There's that warning signs even in Hebrews. It says, we do not want to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Faith and patience. That's what, you know, God's word, you know, we take him at his word, but we have to wait sometimes. In fact, a lot of times, just like those have gone before, it's just like my mom, you know, probably your moms and your spiritual moms that have impacted your lives, that have done that, have walked faithfully with patience, waiting, oh, fighting the drift during those times and getting back to their Jesus. Right back where that lunchbox is with all your favorite chocolates and your wonderful sandwich, your abundance that God provides. So wonderful to know that he loves us so much, that he warns us, right? See, he's made it plain, as we see here in that first four verses, you know, they're talking about this drift and say, hey, be careful. And he says, you know, don't drift because look what's going on here. You know, you talk about these angels and you're so excited over the angels and they help give the law. They were messengers of the law way back on Mount Sinai where Moses was. But now there's even something greater than that, this salvation that is in Jesus Christ. How can you not enjoy that? Why are you drifting away from that? Because now the signs are given. He's saying, hey, announcements are given. Christ himself announced. You remember him opening the scroll in the synagogue after his temptation where he says, hey, this is in fulfillment of the law, of the word, all the prophets and laws. Here it is. I'm the one that's come to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind. Oh, that's who I am. And in Mark, he proclaims, hey, I'm him. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Come to me, all you weary and heavy burdened. My yoke is light, and I care for you. So you have these announcements of Jesus. His life is a very much an announcement, very clear to the salvation. See, a lot of people, our tendency though, and this is something that keeps on coming back to me, even as a devotion with Alistair Begg's devotion, he keeps on talking about, you know, we have a tendency to want to be independent of God. That's just our nature. Since Adam and Eve, they wanted independence. They felt like they didn't want to live under God's authority. They wanted themselves. They wanted to be the boss themselves. So the enemy, the devil, he loves it when we are independent. When we try to do things our own strength and all these things, you know. And we build ourselves up, we kind of drift away from God because now our sight is on us and what we're doing and stuff like that. He loves that. See, what we are supposed to do, though, is to become very dependent upon Christ. And all we do and all we think in our lives, he's the center of it. When we're doing something, we say, Jesus, is this what you desire me to do? Is this how I should think? Is this how I should speak? Is this my purpose that you have for me at this time? Is this my call? see there's that drift and the riptide there. So you got the confirmation happening here. They're talking about what's confirmed. You know, the writer of Hebrews must not have been one of these apostles, because he's talking about this kind of like saying, hey, it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. He didn't say it was from me too. And they're talking about the apostles giving witness, giving testimony to who Christ is and was and all he did. And then later on there you see in verse 4, it says, God also testified to this salvation, grace salvation, by signs and wonders, by various miracles, by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So all that's just pointing, going, zoom, 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 this way, this way, this way. You know, hey, hey, you're drifting over here, over here. I'm here. You know, Joy should have waved at me. She didn't even wave at me. I'm way over there. She didn't. She's just sitting there eating or whatever she was doing, you know. I'm way out there. And she didn't go, hey, I'm over here. No, she didn't even notice me. I could have been, I don't know, another country or something like that. She wouldn't have noticed. And I even had bright, those wonderful, colorful swim trunks. How could you miss that? I don't know. Doesn't work. It's no other way. The people in the Old Testament, when they disobeyed the law, they were judged. They were under judgment. They had to satisfy God, the Holy God's judgment, by what? What did they do? They sacrificed animals instead of themselves. All right? They sacrificed that blood that was bled for them was in place of their blood that should have been bled. That's how it had to be done back then. And then here's this new thing going on, this new salvation through Christ. And who bled? Christ Jesus bled for us in our place. Again, we got saved again. Back then, they got saved for doing stupid things, sinful things, and now we, same thing. Jesus bled for us. But this is a greater one. This is a blood that is perfect and once and for all. And now all we have to do is open our hearts and confess our sins. And we know that we are forgiven. And he's given us life. He sees us drifting, and he's able to bring us back close to himself. But otherwise, if we reject this salvation that is offered, this grace salvation, this great salvation that God has provided, there's no escape. There's no other. So why are you looking? Why are you going down to that beach over there and drifting off that way? Why is that? Why is this person going this way? Oh, I think it's better over this guy. And it's better over there. Oh, this will work over here. This person says this is the way. No. There's one way. As we read in Acts 4:12, there's no other name in which man can be saved, and it's Jesus Christ alone. And so people say, no, 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 no. You're being exclusive. Why are you telling me that? You're so mean. You're judging me. Well, I'm saying, where's the judgment? Hallelujah that there is a way. Because otherwise there is no way. Hallelujah, there is that one way. I don't need 50 different ways. In Thailand, we had to have plan A, B, C, D to get a spot, maybe 2-3 miles down the road. We had to think about how to get there, because so you start off a little bit, you run into bad traffic here, you go, oh, plan A is not working, go down the alley, go plan B, going up here, oh, it's not working, well, plan C, turn around, go over U-turn, go down this way. That's how you had to think in Bangkok, of people of 10 million plus, and I think everybody had a car, and they all went out at the same time. And they had cops at the intersection and sat there and looked at the red light for about 5-10 minutes, just sitting, you know, letting everybody else go by, and I'm waiting and waiting. There was only one way. You know, no matter how hard I tried, there was only really one way. And same thing for us. And praise the Lord for that. Because it's all-inclusive. It doesn't matter who you are, how tall you are, how rich you are, how little despised person you are, how sickly you are, how mangled your life is, no, what ethnicity, what language you speak in this world. He's all for us. He died for every single one of us on this planet throughout history. That's the good news. And so it says, well, you know, they're talking about all these things about, you know, man and, you know, going through this, you know, Psalm 8. And, you know, and all this, we're kind of going, well, why isn't, you know, if we're supposed to be so special and God, you know, given man dominion, which he did in the Garden of Eden. Did you know Adam and Eve, they had dominion over everything? Had a special dignity that he gave us. But we blew it. But there's that word, yet. There in verse 8, a little later on there, says, yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. Yeah, they're not subject to us. But you know what? It says a but. So when you see a but, you go, what? What's that about? Because listen to this. We do see Jesus. We do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for a little while. He became one of us, born as a baby for us, walked on this earth for us, died on the cross for us, rose again from the grave for us, ascended into heaven for us, coming back again as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for us. Can you put it any more plain? We see Jesus, the one made a little lower than angels for a little while, but then after that it says this, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. And you can look in the mirror and say, well, me too? And Jesus will write down, yes, you too. See, he's seeing you drifting. He's going, hey, over here. I see you. He sees you. He sees everybody. And he knows everybody. Whether we believe in him or not, whether we're rejecting his salvation or not, he sees us, he knows us, he loves us. He is always pursuing us. So when you pray for a friend or a family member or a classmate or somebody, a coworker or somebody in your community or something like that, knowing that you're not the only one working here. He's always at work. He's working on all those hearts. He's just including us and inviting us into partnership with him to pray for these people. Just like my mom prayed for me, and now I'm here today, having the honor and the joy of being able to share what God has put upon my heart and teaching me about who he is. And you can do it all. Each one of you can come up here and do the same thing. You know, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we see Jesus. I like that. I see you. You know, got those binocs out. Something very important here. See, when we start to drift, it's because we lose sight of things. All these things coming at us. And, you know, I don't know, I've taught sports a lot, you know, and I kids, all these different sports, and one of the most important basics in any ball game is what? Keep your eye on that ball. I go golfing. I put the ball on the tee. It's not moving. It's a beautiful day. I sit there. I line up. I know where I'm hitting it. It's a big, huge area. Sit there and I just whack. Why does it go that way? Why does it go? Sometimes it goes here. Sometimes it goes straight up, comes down, almost hits me. And I go, why? And my friend goes, silly fool. Why did I invite you? Because now it's going to take me 4 hours and 3 hours to get through this 18 holes. He says, keep your eye on the ball. So simple, isn't it? Isn't it? Baseball, same thing. Keep your eye on the ball. You try to hit a ball without looking. You might nip it. Maybe you get lucky once in a while, but you know, you look at the pros, and if they hit three out of ten, people are going, ooh, I'm going, what? Did I do that in class? I'm out. They're kicking me out. You got 3 out of 10. You keep on getting 3 out of 10, you fail. You gotta go take the course again, right? Right? Right, Andy? 3 out of 10? You don't know that one though, do you? I know it. I know 3s out of 10s. I'm not gonna ask for anybody else to raise their hands. 3 out of 10s. It's pretty good though for a baseball player. You know, so you got this, the eye on a ball. So for us, the eye on a ball is what? The eye on who? We've got to keep our eye on Jesus. We got to keep our word on. Why did he have this book written for us? He didn't have to. He gave us a Bible so we can have our eyes on it. You know, I don't know about you guys who go out in the forest. I've been hiking. I've hiked big mountains, one of the biggest mountains in the continental of U.S. here. And that's Mount Whitney, over 14,000 feet. And that was pretty easy because you have an easy marked trail. But when I go into the forest in Massachusetts, I'm lost. I don't know about you when you go out in the forest, but I tell you something, smart guys have, and I'm not saying who's smart or not here, but and I'm not condemning. You need a compass and you need a map. Don't get lost, because those trees look mighty same there, you know? Oh, this is pretty. Where am I? And it's 5 days later. Oh, we found this guy. He's barely alive. That's what happens, though, isn't it? We lose the compass. We didn't bring it. We left back in the truck. Left back map back in the truck. I'm going to go out there anyways. I'll find my way back. With some fish or some antlers or whatever we're looking for. You know? Yeah, Sam knows this. He's been out there. He's probably lost how many times? Right? That's the way we are. So you know what? God said, no, I'll give you a compass. I'll give you a map. It's right here. So keep your eyes on it. Open your heart. Get into it. Keep your eye on it. It's simple. It's plain, isn't it? It's plain. It's simple. And you know what's even more wonderful? So we got a big brother. And some people go, ooh, big brother. No, we're not talking about that big brother. We're talking about this big brother. See, here he's saying, hey, dad, look what I got. I got brothers and sisters. I got all these people coming with me to come and sing praises to you. And we're going to trust in you. And here I am with these children, this motley crew, these people, these little children, vomit all over the place, make things all messy. They're my children, but they're my children. They're my brothers. They're my sisters. That is Jesus. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you have a big brother. I don't know what Will would say about John. Maybe I shouldn't say anything there. But, you know, my big brother, he saved me. He's like, I don't have it told you about my brother a little bit. This guy's a big guy. He's a power lifter. All right. Now, in high school, he wasn't a power lifter, but he was a pretty tough guy. Nobody played with him. I got in trouble. Somebody was chasing me, somebody bigger than me, in a park, and I ran. You know where I ran to? I ran to my big brother. And what did my big brother do? He shoved a person down on the ground. And I was going, ooh-wee. Come on, do it again. That type of thing. You know, that's a big brother, right? If you have a real good big brother, they take care of you, and they'll take care of your problem. Well, that's Jesus. Because what did he do? Oh, well, let's see what he did here. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. All right, he became one of us. So that by his death, Oh, he died for us. He took on, well, listen to this. By his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, our great enemy. That's the guy I'm running from. I don't know about you, but Jesus knocked him down and destroyed him. He not only took out the devil and conquered the devil, but he conquered death and sin as well for us on that cross and through his resurrection. And he freed, that is the devil, and freed those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death, yeah? For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. Who are Abraham's descendants? All of us who believe in Christ, just like Abraham. Just like Abraham. For this reason, he had to make them, be made like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement. And that's that propitiation that Marilyn likes to spit at me with all those P's. Propitiation, Marilyn. The atonement of our sins. So you know, back in the Old Testament, it's kind of like, you know, they covered the Ark of the Covenant, you know, to protect it. Our sins would be, you know, they said it's kind of being covered. But now Jesus, through his perfect blood, it's not just covered, it's wiped out. It's erased from that board. It's not remembered ever again. It's like tossing some bad trash, smelly trash, and throwing it so far that nobody can ever see it again. That's what he did for us. He made atonement for our sins, the sins of his people, you, me, and people who are yet to follow Christ. He did it for you, for everyone, amazingly. Why? What are we, mere mortals before a holy God? We're nothing. Truly, we are nothing. We don't deserve this. We don't deserve a big brother like that. We don't deserve to be a part of a family. No way. No way. I know I don't. Wake up, Mick. Don't sleep on me. Man, can I go in that chair next? That's awesome. Just need a pillow. Where's the pillow? I'll give you a Dodger pillow later on. All right. So wonderful. All these truths. You know what? I forgot to turn that on again. So, I don't know about you. In 1979, Pittsburgh Pirates finally won a World Series. It was probably one of the more exciting World Series I watched. And they always had that great song, "We Are Family." Do you remember that? Oh, yeah. And Willie Stargell. Oh, I love that guy. I'm a Dodger fan, but I loved Willie Stargell. He hit a home run out of Dodger Stadium one time. He's legend, all right? He's legend. And then Kent Tucholsky coming. And Dave Parker, that big old boy that knocked over a catcher once and sent him into Japan, I think it was. He was so big. But, you know, that's family that we're part of. We are family. We are part of Christ's family. He's done everything for us because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is also, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He was us. He was one of us. He knows everything we go through. And he's able to represent us well. So what do? To avoid the drift. And definitely avoid the riptide that gets us so far away that we're in danger, right? It's the basics, keeping your eye on the ball, right? The prayer, the reading the word, the fellowship, the serving, the being a witness, all that. Those are just basic, everyday. I was talking, we had a pastor's meeting earlier this week, and you know, they said, just staying in the word is so important to the pastors. And just that discipline of being in word and praying is so critical to resilience. And that's for everybody. You think you could do it on your own, you make your own way? Sorry. Cry out to the Lord for help. Join his family by calling upon his name. If you haven't joined his family yet, he's waiting. He's there. He's not just waiting. He's knocking on your door. His witness goes out in all his creation and in his word and his people to him, confirming who he is. So if you haven't received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, now is the time. All I have to do is get real with him and say, hey, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sin with a sincere heart, and he will forgive you and say, hey, come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I'll follow you. And he'll be pleased to do that. That's all it takes. You don't have to go, I have to do this first. I have to become a better person. No, you can't without him who changes our lives. Every one of us can come up here who has followed Christ, come up here and tell you how our lives have been changed by Christ. Praise the Lord, huh? So when you're feeling the drift, you're noticing you're drifting a little bit, get back. Get you caught up in a riptide, yell out. You know, cry for help. Hopefully somebody will see you and help you out. Take care of you. And that's Jesus for sure. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for all you've done. It's the basics. It's the plainness of it. And just like what Steve was saying earlier, don't make it all complicated. You know, the word is right here. You know, we just have to take you at your word, and it's plain and simple. You know, Christ, you sent your son Jesus to help us, to save us, to rescue us, to deliver us, to redeem us, to cleanse us, to make us your holy people, to atone for us. You did it all. And you're coming back. And that's the hope that we have, that one day that we're going to be with you in heaven, this new creation, a new thing that you're going to start with new bodies, no more worries, no more pain, no more death, no more sickness, no more of that, no more sin to deal with. And that's because of you, Jesus, because of your grace and mercy unto all of us. So we praise you and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all this people say, amen. Amen.